The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is March 10th, 2015, and we are sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats. This is my good friend John Wood. It's all grass-fed beef. He's got chicken, bison, fish, you name it. He's got lamb. It's all there. John is a staunch supporter of the show. John's been on the show. He's been a good friend of mine since the early 90s. It's all family owned. He's out in Missouri. Their stuff is second to none, number one. And number two, you want to talk about customer service? This guy by far is one of the best people I've ever dealt with in my life. And if you want to know something really great, his father's in his 90s and he's still working on the farm. So go out to www.grasslandbeef.com, give John's site a check. It's very easy to navigate through, very user-friendly, as they say, and I'm telling you right now, if you want to get the finest quality meat, and he's got tons of other stuff out there, take a look through it. I promise you, you will be very happy. So that's www.grasslandbeef.com. Give John a try. Well, today is Tuesday, and we haven't had this gentleman on in a while, and I'm glad he's back with us. We have Steve Helmicki. Steve is the owner of Primordial Performance. I hope I'm right with that because I haven't done it in so long. Steve still is, in my opinion. He's a world-class power lifter. Good guy. Helped me out when I had some issues. I tore a bicep in 8. Steve helped me out quite a bit rehabbing. And the guy knows his shit, period. So, Steve, I hope I said primordial right, but welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Thank you. It's always my pleasure to spend time with you and impart some experiences that I was grateful enough to have.
Well, we're glad to have you. And we're going to talk about the 100 pieces of exercise equipment of all time. I don't know if we'll get to it all today, and I don't even know if I could name 100, but obviously my friend here's got an idea of it. Steve, you know something? You haven't been on in a while. Why don't you just give a little information, about you and the site? Just something quick. I know you're modest about it, but go out and just give everybody a little reintroduction to you again.
Sure. The main site itself is primordialstrengthsystems.com. We've owned a private strength training facility since 2007. It's also a certification system, so U.S. Marines and about 15 schools in the United States and Canada use the methodology and our interpretation of strength training. And then the latest article in Milo would be the completion that just came out this March of a three-part series on how we apply the system to powerlifting.
Yeah, I saw that was a good. He had some pretty good articles in there this month. And I don't know. I haven't talked to you. I had Randy on the show.
Oh, congratulations! Outstanding.
I'm gonna put his podcast up this afternoon after we're off the air. I'll tell you, it was real interesting. Wait till you hear the questions I was asking him too. I mean, I was quizzing him on all my favorite, strongmen, and we talked about Olympic lifting and obviously the humble beginnings of Iron Mind, and it was a really good show. He was only going to do like 30 minutes. We ended up doing almost an hour, so I hope I can get him back on again and some other people that are associated with Milo. It was a good time, Steve, and yeah, you're going to enjoy it. I mean, it was a great podcast.
I can't wait to listen to it.
Yeah, it'll be good. All right, let's get into equipment. I guess what spurned you on to this? And tell me what's your right now, what would be one of your favorite pieces of equipment?
And these come in no order to say that one has superiority over the other. It's just that looking from the framework of developing something, especially a strength training facility, I think at some point you have to really take a look at, especially when we've been in the game as long as we have, if you had to pick 100 pieces to build a building with, what would you do and where would you start? And the first piece I would put down is the barbell and the bar itself. And it's still the essence of a gym. And so a lot of training places are almost built backwards. So the expense on the bars is the last thing that's of concern. Rather than budgeting to buy the best bars you can possibly buy, people buy a bunch of other equipment that they get married up to and then fill it with relatively inexpensive bars. And what's nice about where our lifetime has taken us is the availability of different specialty bars and the quality and level of bars is at an all-time high. So the reason to not have fantastic bars in your facility is hugely problematic for me. So I would say the first piece would be that.
Well, Steve, we obviously know some of the good bars. I mean, obviously, as a standard bar, do you still have a good feeling about a York bar?
Oh, absolutely.
Obviously, you know, you've been down here. I have mostly York. I have Iron Mines, Milo, you know, the Buffalo bar, and obviously the S-Cube. But, you know, I know you're not going to – there's only been one gym I've ever been in where I've seen an Alico, and that was a gym in Seattle probably about 10 years ago, which, if you can believe it or not, they had Olympic lifters in there and, you know, platforms, which you don't see much of anymore, you know. Other than for you or if you go by quote-unquote elite athletes in your facility – maybe you do have one. Do you have any Alicos in your club?
I have Alico and Ivanko.
You do? Yeah, I have Ivanko too. Yes. All right. Yeah. Do you have any? No, York?
I have York.
Yes.
I have old Texas Power Squat Bar.
There you go.
The original Girard Trap Bars, five of them. Yes. Elite FTS Safety Squat Bar. Yep. And then the regular bars I really do like for a fundamental basic bar. Sorenex has these revolving bars that I found to be very, very nice general use bars, mid-range price, but a good starter bar that should be on most of your equipment. And then we have your deadlift bars. And then Reflex Fitness, I have two custom pieces, Reflex Log Bar, which is a Kenny Leisner based product. And then I have one of their football bars that's a 130-pound bar that was specially custom-made. So I really like to invest in bars.
Yeah, and when you're fooling around with big weights, you don't want some cheap tinny bar that's going to bend. I've snapped ends off some of them. I don't mean literally broke them off, but the whole thing fell apart on me. The sleeve was ready to come off, which isn't a smart move. I'm looking right now, and I will get right back to subject. I talked to Bert Soren the other day. I'm looking at one of his prototype trap bars he did. You know, they're the ones you can put in the power rack.
Yes.
Do you have any of that? Have you ever had any experience with them?
I have not had any with the extended ones. The thing that I don't like that I see coming out now is the extended handle where the bar now is able to be grabbed from a higher level.
Higher point,
I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah. No, I'm not either. But you know what? The reason why I'm just going to make this quick, I think that type of bar, and especially with some of the stuff that's been going on with me.
Perfect. You're almost leg pressing it.
Well, you know what I like about it, what I'm thinking, is it's very similar to lifting a stone, even though your hands are at your sides.
Yep.
Okay, so, that I just wanted to ask if you've had any experience with those, because I'm going to talk to him next week, and he's a regular on the show, too, so we'll see what he's got. Okay, so we got the most important thing is a bar. Where are we going next?
Well, I'd say what's going on them, the plates, you know, and that's another thing that I think people spend a lot of end up buying relatively inexpensive plates, and then they buy plates that if you weighed them all out would be all over the place. And I still, maybe it's the old competitive powerlifting aspects, but I still like stuff that's very standardized. So our high-end set, we're fortunate enough to have an Ivanko all chrome that, you know, a couple thousand pounds of it that could run a world powerlifting platform. A lot of old York.
Yep, beautiful.
We do like from a medium range, we like the Penlay bumpers. I have some old Sorenex bumpers, and then Alico bumpers. I try my best to collect as much old York. There's a couple guys that are getting out of running contests that were old timers, and I bought all their hundreds, and they're getting ready to get rid of the rest of their supply. So I love the stuff. If you can pick up old York from 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you're doing fantastic for yourself.
Well, I got lucky. If probably 10 years ago, Jim went out of business here that had a lot of that old stuff. And when you sit down here, I've got so many of those deep dish standard plates, man. Oh, I love them. I got a lot of York. I was lucky enough to get, I think it was two sets of bumpers from there. They're not in perfect shape, but they're the old school York, the blue and the red, and the rubber's a little mangled on them. But let me put it to you this way. I don't really care, and I'll tell you why. It's just something about that stuff that when I load it on, it makes me feel like a Superman. And you create a lot of those things in your mind, but you know, if you read about the old days of York and the history, I don't know. It's just something that sometimes it touches upon you in a different way. So when I grab those big hunks of iron, man, and slap those on whatever bar I'm using, I don't know, maybe it's just you feel like you're closer to the greats of one time, but I really love all that stuff.
Yeah, and I have a great appreciation even for Zuver's old stuff, where if you could start to recreate plates like that. I know maybe we're getting to that age where we jump shark, and most kids probably younger are saying, well, what the hell's the difference, you know?
Exactly.
45-pound plate's a 45-pound plate. You could save yourself a lot of money by constructing a gym and not spending a lot of money on the iron, but, you know, the iron still should be at the forefront of the gym, and I think it's this regard, a consumer that has a good eye for quality is going to know when he looks at the bars and the plates in a place and how that stuff is stored, what kind of facility it is, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree totally with you, because you and I, who've been around a little bit, we can walk into a gym, you can pick that stuff up right away. I mean, and if you're a real established lifter, you know, let's face it, most of the stuff's made in China now, you know. We know that, like you said, with the plates, you could have one that might be 44, one could be 40, you know. Obviously, if you're going to spend that kind of money, you want to have something that's pretty tried and true. So I agree with you. I think that, you know, I'm sure when you walk into your establishment, obviously, you know, not only do you know that you got good stuff there, but Steve, did you ever think that, I hate to say it, but really appearance is everything when you walk into somewhere. I don't care. I don't care if it's like mine where it's like filthy and all that shit, but a guy like you walking in is going to say, wow, this guy's got some shit here, man.
Well, right. You know right away when you walk in the garage. We have all kinds of custom things and stuff that are unusual pieces.
Yep. And that is where, like, if I walked into your place, I wouldn't give a shit if half the wall was blown out, man. If I walked in there and seen what I know I'm going to see, I just wear an extra sweatshirt. You know
right.
what I mean?
Exactly.
There, away we go. Okay. All right. So we got the plates down. What would be next you go to?
And I'd still keep a relatively rudimentary one for third. And I would say the kettlebell, not so much to jump on the trends, but the fact that of what you can get done, and I like them in pairs. So I think you're fortunate if you can have a pair, and some people that are very much sticklers to just the traditional movements. But if you have from 4 kilograms all the way up to your 203s in pairs,
yep,
you can really do almost any aspect of training, even the stuff that makes, you know, the kettlebell competitors cringe. But from a rowing standpoint all the way up that line, sumo deadlifting all the way up that line, there's an incredible amount of conditioning that can happen in a compacted area with lots of fast switches. So I really, really like well-made kettlebells.
Let me ask you this. This is another thing off the beaten path a tad.
Right.
And you've had a lot more experience with kettlebells than I have, I'm sure. I was told by somebody who's very, very good with them that they could train me with maybe even doing the swing, where I could maybe knock a second off going around the sheep pen. Would you say that's true, or is that BS?
Well, I don't know. It's different. I mean, I'll tell you this. I'm unfortunate guy. I did do decent hip hinge swings with the 203s for 20. What that carries over to, with the exception I can say about the swing, is nothing would carve my waist up more than being able to do something like that. So from an abdominal structure standpoint, a lot out of it, a good hip hop. Yeah. It's always hard to see what correlates. I'll say this much. The Olympic lifts with the kettlebells don't correlate for me on any of the bar lifts.
Okay.
So I don't know what that does in a goat pen for you. I don't. Since you're not carrying and supporting it the same way, it's very hard to compare something like the stones.
Yeah, because, you know, I was just kind of like, I guess from the standpoint they're talking about, it's like, well, it's going to make you faster. But, you know, Steve, this is, I don't know, I'm like a Szymanski guy at times with things. You know, I remember them saying to him, you know, how do you press more? He just gives him a one word, press. All right. It's kind of like with the stone. It's like, I guess I'm not saying other things don't help it or support it. But I think if you want to get really good at that thing, what do you got to do with it? You got to pick it up and carry it.
Well, look, I'm a huge conjugate method guy, but the bottom line is there's nothing that has the same compression on your chest as having that crap pinned on your chest. So the breathing, the stance, it's fundamentally very different than a kettlebell swing. And I'm swinging a monster. I can't tell. Sure. Does that help me walk with a 420-pound stone anymore? I would say no.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. All right, so let's get into number four.
So number four, I'm going to throw a machine in right away, and the Spider Cam Nautilus pullover.
I knew it, man. I'm with it. You know something? People crucify me for saying that, too. But I'm telling you right now, that is a killer, man.
I fixed pitching and quarterback on a high level throwing problems and shoulder impingement problems with that than any other piece I've had. They can say whatever they want to say about it. It's still relevant 30 years later.
Steve, you know, just working out, no injuries, okay? Tell me, honestly, now, I'm a big bent row guy.
Yep.
You know, lats, we know how much. And I'm going to tell you a theory I got too quick because, I mean, you're like lighting my head up right now. You and I both know, you know, you and I'm sure, are very tight. I can tell you I'm very tight in that machine shoulder-wise and everything. That's a big machine. And mine has the guy that I got it from, he put like Olympic sleeves over it because mine's all plate loaded like that, okay, so I can put my plates on it. You tell me if you do those things correct and you get out of it, you could fly in the air how big your fucking lats are, man. It's unreal.
Oh, absolutely. And I think how far Arthur Jones was ahead of his time in this regard. Yeah. I am completely immersed in using variable methodologies in my building. This guy put them into machines in the 70s.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He was well ahead of his time. Yeah, are there some problems with it being built on means and certain people not fitting in correctly? But as far as you could apply a machine over the course of a group of humanity and get it to work on a high level scientifically for most people, it was outstanding work.
Well, you know, the big gripe about it you hear from everybody is it destroyed my shoulders. Well, then you weren't doing it right, or obviously there was a problem with you fitting in there. But, you know, if something's hurting you, why are you still doing it, all right? That's my question. But I love just looking at the big chains on that beast and everything, you know what I mean? And it's sitting right across from that Nautilus press machine I got, which is killer there, too. You sit off that, I swear to God, that hits your upper back. You got a set of coconuts on you if you really want to do it right. I feel that, you know, like when you got into your own line of stuff with the neck and everything, you know, Nautilus four-way for the neck, I think that's an incredible machine if you do it right. You know, you're going to get a monster neck on you playing with that thing. But this is what I want to tell you I've discovered quick. When I got that tweak down below, I was talking to a number of people. We've been discussing this for quite a while about lifting the stone, and I want to see what you think. I don't feel it's the lower back that you're using mainly to lift it. I mean, I know we got the hip girdle and you got to have very powerful arms to squeeze and hold it. I feel it's the middle and the traps that's what's going to execute that stone. What do you think on that?
Well, I would say the finishing aspect of standing erect with the stone, certainly, but the feet and the lower extremities down there, ankles and stuff, are very strong. To me, it's a very important aspect of the whole lift. But the trap aspects are certainly very important.
Yeah, and I've been doing a lot more middle and upper lately, you know, obviously because I can get around that sprain I've got with that – And I've been using a hyper bench. And what I've been doing is locking myself in. I put it in the power rack because I've been doing rows with it. And I'm able to take the lower back out when I'm squeezing the buttocks and everything. And I'll tell you one thing. I was doing it the other day, and I was just peppering that thing. And I remember reading an article many years ago in old Iron Man, and they were talking about the glued ham machine, which I've got that too. And the guys were talking about how they would connect that into doing like close grip rows. And they said, when you're doing that right, you're going to feel like a pull in the middle of your back where you're becoming when you come up with a row like that. I feel the exact same thing with what I was doing with the hyper in the rack the other day. It was incredible, man. You talk about lats and back just tissue blown up. So I just want to tell you that. It was just a very interesting thing. I'm going to keep playing around with this, obviously, until I go away, and we'll see what happens. All right, so let's go to number five.
I like the Sornix landmine.
Okay, I know that, but I've never used one.
So for so many reasons. The pressing motion that you get out of that, the angle of it coming from a punch coming up, from a shot put throw coming up, it's a completely different angle than pressing flat, incline, decline, or over your head.
Yes.
The fact that it actually is on the U-joint and forces all that stabilization musculature to fire, it becomes a very dynamic movement. Four or five of those in a row together with different weights on them allows almost limitless styles of training. And it's also something that you could actually put into the back of your vehicle pullout, set up a station right on the grass if you had to, and put back in.
Yeah.
So incredible portability, incredible variable opportunities to use it in different ways, and forces stabilizer muscles to fire that you just don't get by using a straight bar. So fundamentally a beautiful functional piece, and they're tough as shit. They can take a beating.
Yeah, and you got a lot of people using that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I have six of those in the building.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And for a number of reasons, not only do we use them here, but if we ever had to go do training on the fly someplace, I can load up and set a station almost immediately up by unloading just the back of my truck.
Yeah.
And train anybody on it.
Yeah, and that's a great feature to be able to be that mobile, you know? I mean, that says a lot. All right, what we got next?
I would put a four-way neck machine on there, and I would think for a number of reasons, and we can start with the Nautilus machine. And if you think about, again, until some people got tweaked necks and lawyers' liability kicked them out of gyms,
yep.
Right now, all these years later, neurologists are telling kids now post-concussion that no athlete should be leaving buildings without training their neck at the end of their workout. And this guy had this stuff in 30 years ago. So you talk about being in a predictive mode with a variable method built right in. Are there some fundamental issues with the way the face piece went and some aspects of how people fit in the machine? But yep. By and large, an incredible piece. Still have one in here. Then I think any evolution that's legitimate, all the way up to the piece that we have now with the roller pad on it, which allows the neck range of motion to not be inhibited the same way the square pad does, is the one that Reflex Fitness makes for us.
Okay. What do you think of the standard stuff? I mean, I've got them. You probably got them as far as Iron Mind's neck harness.
The next thing I was going to put on.
That's
fine. You segued perfectly in. That harness, to me, out of all the harnesses I've ever had in my life, I did a lot of stupid things, sled pulling and everything with it. I've had that harness for 15 years. There's not one thread worn out.
No. No, they make some quality stuff. I mean, I've got just about every grip thing they made that they don't even make anymore. You are the king of neck, obviously, out there. Do you do anything? Do you ever do like any old school stuff where you'll put a plate, you know, Olympic plate, you'll hang your head off? Okay, all right. You still do stuff like that.
Yeah, I still
right?
do headstands. I do any imaginable aspect of neck training that I can creatively fit in without increasing the risk, I continue to do.
Just to let everybody know, too, Steve's got some excellent books, especially on neck training. You should really look into those. Steve, before we go to the next one, I just want something brief because, yep. I mean, it's been so long. I don't even remember. We probably talked about what in a small capsule, what got you so in the neck work and so determined to, you know, I mean, you've got a monster neck on you. What did something happen to you, or was it reading? What got you so involved in this?
I think early on I had read very old articles about that aspect of your body was the one piece always showing, and it was something that from a manly standpoint should be developed well. And I think I took to that right. So even when I was competing powerlifting, I still wanted to do it. And I was lucky enough that, you know, some people train their neck a lot. It doesn't grow. When I was very heavy, my neck was very big, you know, 23 something. But I still – right now, you know, I still wear a 20.5-inch shirt, so
that's a big ass neck,
at almost 50. So I, you know, I still like the work. I think it's an important attribute, and you know, it was one of those body parts that grew for me. So, you know, so how can you not want to go with it?
Well, that's the first thing somebody sees on you. So if you got somebody that might want to try you out, they'll think twice when they see a guy with a bulging neck like that, because number one, we both know it can save your life in a car accident. If you get a nice shot to the head and it doesn't turn your neck, chances are you're going to survive the blow. It's and not only that, I think a big strong neck, I mean, we're talking like, you know, a white shirt and tie, I mean, it looks dynamite, man. I mean, it really gives you presence. So, I, you know, like you said, manly, that's what it's all about. Something I want to tell you quickly, too, that I don't think I told you, and I might want to see if we can do something with this woman. Carolyn Johnson, her husband's on here. I think you know them.
Yes.
They're up your way. Okay. She had a terrible accident over a year ago. She was bending down to, because I thought of you when we were doing this show, about 3-4 weeks ago it was. She was bending down to get her child's toy, and they had a big Samoa. They still do, 90-pounder.
Mm-hmm.
This dog, the dogs were horsing around. This dog hit her head on to the side of the temple.
Wow.
And she's had problems like you would not believe. She's gotten a lot better, but I'm talking to the point where they went to the hospital. I think I want to say she might even had blood on her, you know, brain-wise, but she was a mess. And she's come out of it fairly good. She still has days. I mean, the stuff she was telling us about it, and I thought of you with anti-concussion and all that stuff. I'm going to have her on again very soon, and I'm going to contact you because the three of us might want to do a show together. I think you'd find it very interesting, and you know, you've done a lot of this stuff. Maybe you could even lend a hand, you know, as far as a voice in it. But I thought of you when we did that show because poor thing, man. I mean, she's had a hell of a, I think it happened last May it was. So it's been like unbelievable the stuff she's had to go through. But, you know, just little things like that with necks and everything and head injuries. I mean, a dog hitting you, who would ever think that, you know, skull to skull? Yeah, it changes your life. But that's another thing. We'll talk about that down the road. Okay, what do you got next there, boy?
I would take your segue into the grip tools, and we can talk about a bunch of them. But I think, you know, again, there was predecessors, but no one in our time or our era has modernized and brought it to the forefront like Iron Mind has. So the captains of crush grippers, you know, I mean, I'm sure there's people out there that have their own differences right now. But as far as something that set the standard and started moving forward, I think they're incredible, incredible implements.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you know, I'll tell you what I hopefully can get a hold of someday. They're probably not even around, or they're laying in somebody's garage. I'd love to get the original grip machine by Perry Rader.
Yeah,
that Iron Culture or whatever something his business was there. That, I mean, I think Randall based a lot of that off his machine. But my God, man, that was a brutal looking machine. And I've got a list probably like you do too. I hope one of these days when I'm traveling around with the show or whatever, I just hope I see garage sale and I walk in, they open up the door, and it's like,
exactly.
You know, like that. It's like, there's the old York stuff, and then, you know, there's some Iron Cult, and I'm like, just back the truck up, man. If I got to get a moving van, I'll buy everything and bring it home, you know? That's one of the things I love about what we do. It's like you got that childlike interest all the time in this stuff, man, and it's like it just never goes away. Even if it gets tedious on you and you're like, I'm not doing it anymore, an hour later, you're right back in the swing. So, okay, so do you want to talk about any more specific grip stuff?
Well,
Steve,
I would say one more because you brought the machine in. Sorenex had this T-Rep grip machine, which I don't know if they still make, but I have one. It's plate loaded. You can stand on it. You can pinch grip on it. You can grip the same format as a gripper on it. You can load it unlimitedly, and it's a very heavy duty piece.
Yeah, I've got one here too, brother.
So I thought that was a great, great, great piece.
That's a great machine because you know what? Not only is it economical because you don't have to go out and buy 3-4 different pieces, man.
Absolutely.
You know, that's and you're right. It is a horse, man. Okay, let's hit the next one.
Well, I just have to say the power rack we have to put on there.
Right? Yeah, my favorite.
You can't leave that off, and just completely for a million different reasons, the aspects of being able to have a safety box built around you. You can do partial movements in strict form. You can support almost any aspect of training functionally, including your pull-ups and everything, in one single unit. You add a bench to it, your plates, you don't really need much more to actually start your own facility.
No, you don't. And you know what the nice thing is? Like, you know how mine's, you know, you lag them in and you got a platform under you. So if you don't have a bench, if I do any type of benching, which is rare, I do the old style floor press with it right off the pins.
Perfect. It's,
you know, something for me, it's the best piece I've got out there. And there's a lot of pieces because, like you said, you're in a box, you're safe, you don't need spotters. You can load up as much as you want. And, you know, the nice thing about that, too, one thing I always relish about it, and I know I've heard people say, oh, it's such a pain in the ass. You got to load and unload both sides yourself.
Right.
So let's just say you're doing an 800-pound partial or whatever. Well, we know you're going to be putting a lot of 45s on there unless you're going to use hundreds. You know, I like the idea of that because, you know, something, think about it. You're getting a grip workout right there.
Oh, absolutely.
You know? And I say that to people, and they look at me like, what, are you retarded? I'm like, what do you mean? Well, I don't want to do all that work. I'm like, well, what are you going to do, go out and hire a kid to load your plates? I mean, that's the aspects of lifting, Steve, that I don't know if everybody gets because to most people they think it's just a big pain in the ass. I like that. I like, all right, so you got to pick them up and down 20 times at night. You don't realize the strength you're getting just from doing that. So, yes, power rack, couldn't live without it.
Absolutely.
And I do agree with you totally. If that's all you had to get with a bench and a good bar and some plates, man, you're ready to go. And if you can't get big in that thing and strong, you don't belong even owning a bar or a power rack. It's the ultimate tool to really get you to where you want safely and, you know, that's it. Okay, what do we got next?
I like the Nautilus Shrug machine on there.
And you know something, brother? I got one of those, too.
I know. It's a beautiful piece of machinery. I feel fortunate that I have an old Spider-Cam one like that, and we still actively use it. So, yeah, I get the impingement on the biceps that some people don't like, but my goodness, you talk about something, you know, you could put as little as two plates on and getting an incredible trap pump if you're using it correctly. An amazing piece of equipment.
Well, you know why I haven't used it since I hurt my bicep? Believe it or not, I'm a little nervous to that. What do you think?
Well, I think with the arm put in the proper position, I mean, I use it with a torn bicep tendon. You know, I've had it repaired. I was told to not do a lot of things, but I can say that if it's used correctly and gingerly, that it should be something
I can still do it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I remember I'm going back and reading all this stuff through Iron Man, all right, and the ads in it and blah, 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 and I see this thing, and it's got Dick Butkus, man, saying, you know, this is what he uses and all that. I was like, that's good enough for me, man. I'm going to go find one, and I did. That's what I did. So, yeah, I agree. I mean, before I hurt the bicep, I was using that thing. You know, you were getting, like, gorilla traps on you, and it was, I loved it, man, the way you could control that squeeze and everything. It's like, now you got me going. I'm going to have to clean out around it and maybe get that boy resurrected again. I think I'm going to have to try. You know, I've been wearing the, like, the arm guards and stuff like that. I think that might give me enough support in there where I'd be okay.
Absolutely.
For the bicep and all that. Okay. All right. Let's go on to the next one.
So we'll do one more for today's series. Just to what I like. And this is kind of a newer thing, but I really like them. And this company, D-Ball, and they make them with our logo on it now. But the balls that are concentrated from 20, 40, 60, 80, 100, all the way up to 300. I love the difficulty of acquiring the ball and getting it up onto your chest, say if you're going to do front squats. It's as close as you can get to using a round stone in training without the so-called aspects that could hurt you. And the concentration of force to be able to put 60, 80, 100 pounds in very small spheres makes them very cumbersome objects to use. So I love them from doing anything, rows, squats, overheads, and then slams all the way up with those kind of things. They're basically indestructible.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's great. All right. Well, then obviously next week we'll come back with some more. We'll just keep rolling. Steve, why don't you give out all your information? I'll give mine, then we'll talk for a second off air.
Sure.
Okay?
PrimordialStrengthSystems.com is the general gym site, and then Primordial.us speaks more to the science aspects of it, AntiConcussion.com, and Primordial Man.
And that's what we like that. We'll have to do a show one of these days on some real manly stuff, though.
Absolutely.
Are you set? You got everything?
Yes, sir.
Okay. This is Motivation and Muscle. This is a podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today, we're being sponsored by U.S. Wellness Meats. That's www.grasslandbeef.com. Give John Wood and his family a shot. Go out and look at the site. You will not be disappointed. Once again, that's www.grasslandbeef.com. www.fiorellabarbellco.com is our main site. www.motivationandmuscle.com is our podcast show, which you can get on either site to it. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. If you want us to do, write us, just tell me what you think of the show. If there's anything you'd like Steve and I to talk about, you can get a hold of me at FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.RR.com. We're also on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell and Motivation and Muscle. Steve, thanks again for coming on. Good to have you back. We're going to be doing a lot of shows, and welcome home, brother.
Thanks for the opportunity again to speak with you, and it always does feel like home. Thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate the compliment. So for Steve Helmicki, this is Eric Fiorello. We'll talk to you very soon. Steve's going to be on here regular again. We just got to work some times. So have a great week, and thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.